بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا. A very warm welcome to another live edition of Living the Legacy. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here where the program comes to you live via Skype in Malaysia. And I hope that it's just as sunny and beautiful wherever you're listening to the program to live, inshallah. Many of you will listen to the program later in the day as a podcast, and I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd like to know how the program has impacted on your life, and especially our Tuesday morning program where we discuss the Quran and how the Quran can impact on the quality and the richness of your life. My name is Rehana Omar, and as always, it is a pleasure and a blessing to be spending this hour in your company. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of us drawing closer to Him, of making us more respectful of the Qur'an, more understanding and appreciative of the blessings of the Qur'an, and make us of those who not only read and memorize the Qur'an, but those who practice upon its teachings, and those who start living by the message of the Qur'an. May we be of those who beautify our lives with the teachings and the commands and the wisdom that comes to us from the Qur'an. On today's program, as in every program, I'm encouraging you to stay interactive, to stay in touch with me, and to connect with me through the program. There's Twitter with the hashtag QuranGems, QuranGems, or via WhatsApp to +60 13 260 8592, via email to Raihana, RAYHAANAH@gmail.com. On the program today, we continue where we left off last 3 weeks ago before I took a break. And we continue understanding more about the Qur'an Kareem. In previous programs, we had begun in Ramadan of this year with a brand new series. And that series was about appreciating the Qur'an. We began with Surah Ar-Rahman, the adornment of the Qur'an. And we left off last with a Qur'anic appreciation of verses 18 until 22 of Surah Ar-Rahman. Today, we continue with verse 23 onwards. And again, many of you are memorizing Surah Ar-Rahman as we proceed on this journey, mashallah. You're welcome to send me voice notes, that's for the sisters, via WhatsApp, via email, where I can listen and provide you feedback on the hifz, help you out with improving, or just help you along the journey of memorizing the surah correctly, inshallah. There is no pressure, so there's no due deadline dates and there's no homework. But ideally, if you can memorize the ayat that we cover each week, which is anything from 1 to 4 verses, inshallah, you can proceed on this journey and complete Surah Ar-Rahman, the memorization and the basic appreciation and understanding of it within the next few months. Now, how superb is that? Subhanallah. Surah Ar-Rahman is a surah that we all love to hear being recited. And many of us quote Surah Ar-Rahman as being our all-time favorite surah. But what about if you could start understanding what you're reading? And you could start appreciating the beauty of the ayat and the message and the meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sharing with you. Wouldn't that transform your life? Of course it would. But before we do that, it's time for some life reflections. And today I want to share with you a beautiful post that I came across. If you are on Facebook, there's a sister, Asma Hussein. And I encourage you to follow her. She is a widow with a young daughter, and she writes from the heart. And everything is connected back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of her posts were entitled, Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She writes, For many years in Egypt, Amr, meaning her husband, attended every one of the 5 prayers in congregation, regardless of where he was. It wasn't very difficult considering There was a masjid on almost every street corner. But when we came to Canada together, he could no longer do that. We didn't live within walking distance from any mosques, nor did we have a car. Something beloved that he had been doing for so long was now out of his reach. It affected him in many ways, and I could see the silent sadness reflected in his demeanor. But he didn't let himself stagnate. He began regularly setting his alarm to wake him up before Fajr. Then he stood and prayed tahajjud, reading the verses of Allah alone in the dark until the time of Fajr came. Before this, I never knew Amr as an avid night worshipper. He would wake up for tahajjud on occasion, but not regularly. In establishing this new habit, he taught me something important about achieving equilibrium, balance, in faith and in life. When we have circumstances that make it difficult to practice one recommended element of faith, we do not give up on faith altogether. Nor do we let a setback push us and keep us down. We revisit and re-evaluate. Then we come to an understanding of what it is we can do to lift ourselves up again. Believers never stagnate. They do not allow circumstances of life to control and dictate how they will live. Amr wasn't physically able to pray in the masjid often, so he found something else that would help him to maintain the strength he found in worshipping Allah. In Surah 8, verse 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, respond to Allah and to the Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. And know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that to him you will be gathered. Surah 8, verse 24. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Amr life. It gave him the strength and conviction to live in truth and to die in truth. One of the most recited du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O you who changes the hearts, make my heart firm on your religion. When he was asked by his companions about the meaning of this du'a, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The hearts are between two of Allah's fingers. He changes them as He wills. Your heart is never traveling on one path at one speed, unaffected by its surroundings. Your heart is soft, malleable, ever-changing. Your heart has ups and downs, its brightnesses and its darknesses. If left alone without worship or faith or striving, the heart will slowly rust and become unrecognizable. And so the believers are never stagnant. They are always seeking balance and equilibrium. They do not allow physical life circumstances to control the direction or speed or surroundings of their hearts. They are always searching for that which will give their hearts life. And that's a reflective piece written by Sister Asma Hussein, a sister, Canadian Egyptian, who lost her husband during the Egyptian Revolution. She was married less than 3 years, and she writes from her heart on the different lessons that her husband and her young marriage had taught us. And in this case, it was that when they moved to Egypt, and when they moved to Canada, they had no access to a car, and they had no easy access to a masjid. The masjid was very, very far from where they lived. And her husband, who grew up in Egypt, for him it was so easy attending the masjid on a daily basis for the 5 daily salah. If you've ever been to masjid in Egypt, if you've traveled to Egypt, you know that there is a masjid literally on almost every street corner. So when they went to Canada, there was a sadness within him because he had no means to get to the masjid. And it was too far for him to be able to walk. So he did not just stagnate with his iman, but he took that sadness and he transformed it into something beneficial. And while he was someone who didn't pray tahajjud daily, he would pray it occasionally. Now he channeled that sadness for something so good and so beneficial and so uplifting that he began praying his tahajjud nightly. And so the sister tells us in this piece about her husband, her late husband, that he could have stagnated. He could have said, well, there's no masjid for me to attend my salah at. There's nowhere for me to go and pray my salah. Right? So, but he didn't. He took that feeling of sadness and he transformed it into something of pure joy and happiness. And that was by connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on another level. And that was by rising and following the sunan of all the anbiya alayhimus salam. What was the sunnah of all the prophets of Allah, peace be upon them all? It was to rise for the tahajjud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those believers who are alive, both physically and in our hearts and souls. May Allah make us of those believers who are never ever stagnant. May we be of those believers who are always searching for that which gives life to our hearts. You're listening to Living the Legacy this Tuesday on Radio Islam International. And as always, it is an interactive program, so I'd love to hear from you, your feedback, your thoughts, and give me your progress, your updates, and how you're doing with your memorization, your journey, your study of Surah Ar-Rahman. It's time for us now to move on from where we last left off 3 weeks back, and that was where we concluded with a Quranic appreciation of Surah Ar-Rahman, verses 18 until 22. We now move to verse 23 of Surah Ar-Rahman, which is فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And it translates briefly as, so which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Now again, it is just the very basic translation of this ayah of Surah Ar-Rahman, ayah number 23 of Surah Ar-Rahman. But if we look at it in greater detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us some amazing facts, amazing details. Allah is telling us, then which of the favors, miracles, wonders, powers, feats, blessings, gifts from Allah, will you both, human and jinn, will you both deny and deliberately lie against? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are able to appreciate every blessing, to recognize it, to honor it, and not to abuse the gifts, blessings, and favors that He has blessed us with. Ameen. So again, each time you hear this ayah of the Quran, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, and it's one that's repeated often and frequently in Surah Ar-Rahman, so much so that it is an invitation and it is a reminder to each one of us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's any one central theme of Surah Ar-Rahman, it is of being grateful to Allah, the Lord of the world. Let's turn now to ayah number 24 of Surah Ar-Rahman. So ayah 23 was, so which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? The often repeated ayah of the Quran. Now we are on to ayah number 24, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I, وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. And to him belong the ships elevated in the sea like mountains. Another understanding, another translation of it that we can also understand it by is that he alone owns rapidly flowing, elevated vessels in the oceans resembling mountains or light towers from a distance. What do we understand from this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that to him belongs the ships with sails elevated in the sea like mountains? It's a very vivid imagery, isn't it? So what do we understand from this? That ships are sailing at the top of the ocean. They don't sink, they sail, right? And at the bottom of the ocean is a tiny pearl. When what you expect to float will sink, and what you expect to sink, Allah can make float. Think about it. You expect a ship on water to float, to sink right to the bottom of the ocean, but it doesn't. It floats on the ocean. So much so that we are brought back to the imagery that Allah has given us in Surah Ar-Rahman, and to him belong the ships with sails elevated in the sea like mountains. Subhanallah. When you look from afar, right, and you're watching the ocean and there's a ship on the ocean and it's like a peak of a mountain sticking up, not so? That is exactly what the imagery is indicating towards, mashallah. Now in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, fil bahri kal a'lam, in the sea kal a'lam, like mountains. Now al a'lam can mean ships or mountains. You see, when you look at the huge carriers on the sea, whether it's a yacht, whether it's a ship, whether it's a cargo ship, what do you automatically and instantly think about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You remember the blessings of Allah. You remember it's only Allah who's given man the technology and the ability and the creativity to be able to design something that can float on the water and not sink. Subhanallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, continuing with verse 25, ayah 25 of Surah Ar-Rahman, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you and I, then which of the favors, miracles, wonders, powers, feats, gifts and blessings will you both deny and deliberately lie against? Allahu Akbar. And thereafter, in verse 26 of Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everyone upon the earth will perish. It can also be translated as, all of those upon it, meaning upon the earth, will cease to exist, meaning will stop existing. Now, in this ayah, the word fan, fa alif noon, the last word of this ayah in verse ayah 26, kullu man alayha fan, the word fan is something that is meant to die. The ulama compare the things that human beings design to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed. Allah designed the human body, but humans designed cars, computers, gadgets, other things. But tell me, the cars, the gadgets, the technology, the computers that we design, don't they all need repairs? At some stage, don't they need to be rebooted or formatted or sometimes even thrown away because they can't be fixed? Even the buildings we build have a lifespan. When the human body starts breaking apart and becomes weaker, it is a reminder that this is not a flaw in creation, but that we were designed to experience these things. Everyone is meant to die. We all know Fir'aun, right? Well, we know of him, one of the greatest oppressors in the world, and his story is mentioned extensively in the Qur'an Kareem. Fir'aun thought that he would live forever, that his kingdom would never end. And now, what has become of him? He's been reduced to nothingness. And so this concept, this understanding, this Islamic principle of knowing that everyone dies and everything will perish at some time or other, this applies to individuals and civilizations and nations and communities. A time will come for the rise and a time will come for the fall of each nation and civilization. The world around us has become so complicated that we cannot keep up with world events. Subhanallah, because there's so much going on, right? But the Qur'an provides clarity, definition, and turns our focus to what truly matters, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go for an ad break. When we return, more insight and Qur'anic appreciation into Surah Ar-Rahman. Stay with us.
Classic Creations long awaited half price, yes, half price abaya sale is now on. Don't miss out. Hurry to Classic Creations, 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Linasia, or call them on 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Ghana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
This is Living the Legacy with Hafida Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
On the program today, we're discussing Surah Ar-Rahman and an appreciation of the ayat of the Qur'an, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, the message that He's conveying to us through the vivid imagery of nature, of His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We began the program with our first segment, which was a life reflection on how believers should never stagnate in our spiritual state, and of how at any given time, a true believer is always searching for something that will give life to their heart. And my question to you today is just that. What is it that gives life to your heart? Is it recitation of Quran, giving of charity, volunteering, sadaqah? What is it that gives life to your heart? Do more of that, and do that for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Coming up later on the program, I'm going to be sharing with you some tips on preparing for Hajj so that it is truly a journey and a legacy that you live and leave behind. So for many of our listeners who are still preparing, still have time before leaving for the Hajj, perhaps for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I will be sharing with you more about how to make this the journey of a lifetime. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those of you that are preparing to go for the Hajj. May it be for you, inshallah, a spiritually uplifting and a life-changing opportunity. May it be a chance for you to connect deeply, truly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuing on with our appreciation of Surah Ar-Rahman, we discussed before the break, ayah of verse number 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, everyone upon the earth will perish. We spoke about the Islamic understanding of what this means, of how important it is for us as believers to realize that every nation, every civilization will have their rise and will have their fall, and that at the end of the day, each of us are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that while we have life, and that while we are alive, we have a chance to turn back, to continue turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a reminder that no matter how much of power we think we have, how much of glory, wealth, fame, splendor life seems to present to us, that it really is all a facade. One day we will all be reduced to nothingness. And that is a humbling reminder to us all. We continue with the next verse in Surah Ar-Rahman. It is verse number 27, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And there will remain the face, the countenance of your Lord, owner of majesty and honor. It can also be translated as, and the face of your master, the countenance, divine countenance of your master, possessor of glory and nobility will remain. Now, you will find that in the Qur'an, numerous times, the word wajh, waw, jim, ha, in English, W-A-J-H, that the word wajh, face, is used many times in the Qur'an Kareem to refer to our Lord. The dignity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. So what is the connection? When people are powerful on the earth, they get their respect because other people show them respect. And when they lose their power, they lose their respect. In our world, in our dunya, respect is not something that comes from you, but it is what others give you. If everyone is dead, who is there to show the Creator respect? Nobody. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, the nobility of your master will remain. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of glory and respect. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anyone to give it to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us. We need him. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not need us. Allah is already the eternal possessor of glory and respect. Allah owns everything. All the glory, all the respect in the world is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is a very important ayah for us to understand. Some people ask, why does Allah need me to praise Him or to glorify Him? Remember, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not because Allah needs anything from us, but because He is so merciful to us. So again, if there's anything you're taking away from today's program, it should be the reminder that when we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we fast, when we give sadaqah, when we go for the Hajj, when we pray Salah, it only benefits us, you and I as individuals. It does not benefit Allah, the Lord of the worlds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us complete understanding. And then again the ayah, the beautiful ayah, verse 28 this time. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Again, for us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, then which of the favors, miracles, wonders, feats, powers, gifts and blessings will you both deny and deliberately lie against? Join us in next week's program as we continue with verse number 29 onwards. On today's program, we've covered verses 24 until 28 of Surah Ar-Rahman and a brief recap of what we've discussed and the themes we've looked at. We began by reminding ourselves of all of Allah's amazing creation, and this time it is a vivid imagery of the ships, the sailing ships and the oceans, and that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made it possible for the ships to sail. And when they sail in the waters, they appear as though they are elevated like mountains in the seas, because of the peaks and the sails of the ships. So, if you're living and you're fortunate to live near a harbor or near the ocean side, and you take a walk, a stroll, right, or you're traveling or holidaying and you see the ocean, you see the ships on them, think of this ayah. وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. Think about how Allah has made it possible, gifting human beings with the intellect, technology and the creativity to devise, to design, to produce ships with sails so that they can float and they can move along the ocean and not sink to the ocean floor. Subhanallah. And each time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing you and I with a vivid imagery of His creation, of His blessings to us, be they ships with sails or pearls and corals, or oceans where they meet side by side, or the sunrise and the sunset, or the creation of man and jinn, or the scented palm trees and fruits that He's created. Each and every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, so which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Allah is reminding us to be grateful, to make shukr for all of these blessings. Sometimes, with the very fast-moving and complicated lives, we don't take out sufficient time. And subhanAllah, can it truly ever be sufficient? Can we ever reach a point where we say, today I thanked Allah enough, today I made enough shukr? Can we actually ever say that? Never ever. So if there's one thing that Surah Ar-Rahman teaches you as we journey through an appreciation of the surah, I pray that it is to have a deeper sense of gratitude, to be even more appreciative to Allah and thankful to Allah and grateful to Him, for you to view the world from a different mindset of a believer who's now living through Surah Ar-Rahman and the lessons of gratitude that it teaches us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the full understanding. Ameen. We are going to go, inshallah, for a short break in the next 2 minutes. And after the break, I look forward to sharing with you more ideas on how you can prepare for the Hajj. I understand that there are a lot of sisters still listening to their favorite programs while on the Hajj. MashaAllah, if you are listening in from Madinah Munawwara or Makkah Al-Mukarramah, drop me a message, a WhatsApp, a direct message on Twitter, an email. Let me know, where are you in Makkah, Madinah and Jeddah, and are you listening? How has your trip been so far? I will be sharing with you, for you and for those who are still preparing to leave for the Hajj in the coming weeks, inshallah, what is it that you can still do to prepare? We can never prepare enough. It's often likened to a young lady getting ready for marriage or her big day. And there's so much to do, and even though you know you've prepared everything possible, there's always something or the other that you can still prepare. And that's what the Hajj is all about. And the beauty of preparing for Hajj is knowing that you're preparing to accept the invitation of your Lord. That is the beauty of Hajj. That is the awesomeness of going for Hajj. That you're not just accepting an invitation to a dinner or a banquet or an event. You're accepting the invitation to go to Baytullah, to perform the Hajj, to perform the pillar of Islam. How much more sacred and blessed can it be? Allahu Akbar. We're going to go for our last ad break of this hour, and when we return, I share with you some steps on how to prepare mentally for the Hajj. Stay with us.
People everywhere feel hunger, but for some, hunger is felt every day and night. The Al-Imdad Foundation brings you a new, smart and sustainable Can Qurbani program. With only 1,700 rand per sheep, we will slaughter, can and distribute your Qurbani to the most needy Syrian people for whom hunger has become a way of life. All you have to do is donate. The rest will be taken care of. Our cut-off date for Qurbani is the 18th of September 2015. Visit alimdad.com or call 0861 786243 for more information.
The Lalesia Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic Fardini education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawab Jariyah for you. The Lalesia Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawab Jariyah by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rand in the LMA 10 will keep the wheels turning of serving Madrasa and Masjid.
Sharma Spice World, Sana, Super Colonel Low GI Basmati Rice, 5 kg, 99.90. Pan Oil, 5 litre, 74 rand. Shan Assorted Masala, 6 pack of the same variant, 60 rand. Shama Dishwashing Liquid, 5 litre, 21 rand. Nur Jahan Basmati Rice, 5 kg, 99 rand. Cool baked beans, 410 grams, 3 for 22.50. 5 roses, 200 tea bags, 48 rand. Fruit tree juices, 1 litre, 12 rand. Contact us on 011-852-5568 or visit us at 50 Hemsbox Street, Extension 2, Lanesia.
Tuned to Living the Legacy on Radio Islam International.
On the program today, we've been discussing Surah Ar-Rahman, a Quranic appreciation of the ayat from verses or ayat number 24 it was, yeah, until 28 on the program. Ayat number 24 until 28. And inshallah, we continue from ayat 29 onwards next week. Again, for those of you that are following up and would like to memorize as we understand each ayat, please do send in your recitation for me to check on Tajweed and Hifz, and you can do so that to assisters via WhatsApp or email, inshallah. So today we've covered verses 24 until 28 of Surah Ar-Rahman, reminder of the creation of Allah, the reminder that even when we look at things made by man, that we remember Allah. So even when you look at something made by man, remember Allah. You're looking at a piece of furniture perhaps. It's made out of wood. Where does that wood come from? The tree. Where does that tree come from? Allah. Who carved that piece of wood into furniture for you, into a table or chair or desk? Are there designs on that? Look at the handicraft, the workmanship on there, the craftsmanship on there. That was designed then or developed, that piece of wood, by a human being, who's molded and shaped a piece of wood so that you could use it as a piece of furniture. How were they able to do that? With art and with creativity and intellect. And who gave them art, creativity and intellect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we learn that everything on the earth will perish. Nothing remains forever. Even human beings, we don't remain forever. No civilization, no nation existed forever. Everything has a point of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that itself, ayah 26 of Surah Ar-Rahman, should humble us to the core, should humble us to realize that we are nothing, and that we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the only thing that is eternal is Allah. The only thing that's forever is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautiful sifat, beautiful attributes, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. So we call upon Allah, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. Ya Allah, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. O Allah, O owner of majesty and honor. Those are from amongst the Asma'ul Husna. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn our hearts with the Qur'an, with the nur of the Qur'an. Make us of those who take the light of the Qur'an and imbue it within us and internalize that light and become better people. Become of those attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As promised, in our last segment, I'll be sharing with you some steps on how to prepare for the Hajj. But you could also perhaps apply this to an Umrah trip if you have one in the coming months or later in the year. But just as a reminder to us all, how can we prepare for the Hajj mentally? Well, one of the first things is to make sure that we know the requirements of performing Hajj. It is one of the pillars of Islam. So we must know what we're doing in Mina, in Muzdalifah, in Arafah. What happens in the Tawaf? Why are we going for Hajj? What happens in the Hajj? What are all the manasik of Hajj? We must understand them. And if it's the first time that you're going for Hajj, it may be very unfamiliar to you. And if it's the first time you ever going, meaning you've never been for Hajj Umrah, it will feel perhaps even more unfamiliar. If there's a class you can attend, books you can read, slides or presentations to watch, that will help tremendously. And speak to scholars. Find out what you don't understand and what you don't know. Another way that you can prepare mentally for the Hajj is knowing what to expect. Right? Hajj is a journey of a lifetime. Many people go on the Hajj and they come across things that make them very upset or disappointed. So you go for Hajj and you are disappointed that there's so much of rubbish and dirt thrown around and that people don't keep the bathrooms clean. Okay? So we need to realize that we have to lower our own expectations. And yes, we expect of all Muslims to be clean, tahara, cleanliness is part of our faith, but unfortunately it's not so. So if you can realize that, yes, you're going to have to face situations perhaps where the toilets will not be left in a clean situation, or that people are not going to pick up after themselves their trash and their dirt, it will make it easier for you mentally when you're there, so you don't end up distracted from the purpose of being there, right? Number three, planning. Plan mentally how you're going to use your time. It's very different when you're planning in the comfort of your home or in your hotel room, but when you get there, it's another story. Perhaps the crowds or the heat, you may not be feeling well. So while we plan, we must realize that it should be a flexible plan. The planning itself is there mentally to remind us, I need to make the best of every single moment. What will I do after Maghrib? And after Isha? And when will I pray Tahajjud? What time will I go for Tawaf? When will I go for Ziyarah? If we can start creating a simple yet flexible plan, we can be guaranteed, inshallah, to make better use of our time. The next thing that you can do to mentally prepare is to remind yourself, your nafs, that when you're going on a Hajj, it is a journey to surrender yourself to Allah. It is a journey to surrender yourself to Allah. Yes, you take plenty of bags of sabr, but you remind yourself mentally, my journey of Hajj is submission to Allah and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are very important points. And the last point I'm going to share with you, inshallah, is to, and again, this is about the mental preparation of the Hajj itself, is to remind yourself to minimize distractions. So this works hand in hand with planning. Minimize distractions. And that can be one of the biggest struggles, especially for sisters. Someone's going shopping, someone's bought this new abaya, this new hijab, these new, I don't know, what do people buy when they go? SubhanAllah, bag loads of things, right? How do you make sure that you are focused? I'm not saying don't buy things, don't shop, don't support the industry there, but I'm just saying that minimize distractions. Right? Or someone will say, let's go out for tea or coffee. It's good to build the ahuwa. It's good to build the sisterhood in Islam while we're on the Hajj. That's part of the experience as well. However, if we don't have our goal set and if we don't realize the true purpose of why we're going, it can be very easy to get completely sidetracked. And to regret it later will be most unfortunate. So yes, put aside time to spend time with your loved ones who are on the Hajj with you, to perhaps go on the ziyara, to make new friends with the sisters. But remember, draw the line when it comes to gossiping, backbiting, and competition. If you're competing about how much Qur'an you're reading and tawaf, alhamdulillah, but it must be for the pleasure of Allah. But when it comes to sisters competing about how many and who bought the best gift to take back, and those type of things, that starts making our journey and our experience meaningless, doesn't it? Because that's not the reason why we are there. So try to minimize the distractions. Also, when it comes to technology, if you're fortunate enough that you're not working while you're on the Hajj, alhamdulillah, don't have your email on or your Wi-Fi on all the time. Balance it out. Make sure that you're putting aside sufficient and more than sufficient time for ibadah. Yes, phone home, message home, check how everyone's doing, let them know how you're doing. But don't be sitting and just taking pictures the whole time or scrolling through timelines or messaging everyone all the time. Remember, you are on the Hajj for a purpose and that should be your primary focus. So again, to recap how you can prepare mentally for the Hajj, make sure that you know what's required of you in the Hajj. Mentally set out your expectations and realize that not everything is as you want it to be. Planning, plan how you're going to use your time. The planning is there to help keep you flexible, but also have a realistic idea of how you want to make the most of every moment and maximize on it. The next is to develop a mindset where you know that Hajj is a journey of surrendering yourself to Allah. No matter the tests and difficulties that you face and the struggles, surrender. Surrender to Allah. And minimize distractions. Try not to be distracted as much as possible, inshallah. I'm turning now to your messages and reading through some of your messages, mashallah. The one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I love your program. I'm so happy to know that you're back on air. I missed you. I did listen to the old programs that they played out, but it's great to know that you are live. I hope you are well and had a good holiday. Jazakumullah, Sister Rukshana. Jazakumullah khairan, Sister Rukshana. Alhamdulillah, I had a beautiful, beautiful trip back home to South Africa, where I got to meet many of you in Roshni, mashallah, where I did give a presentation. And then my family and I traveled to India and Sri Lanka. It was an amazing experience, alhamdulillah. The next message is, Assalamu alaikum. Was very glad to meet you in Roshni. Allah Ta'ala creates man invents, and inventing man-made, anything man-made is sure to have faults. Everything Allah Ta'ala creates is flawless. Jazakumullah khairan. Beautiful message, sister. Jazakumullah khairan for sharing that with us. Alhamdulillah. The next message says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Surah Ar-Rahman, each week you teach me something new that I haven't realized before. I'm one of those fortunate few that you mentioned who live close by to the sea, so I do have the perfect opportunity without any excuse to praise Allah and remember Him through His creation. Jazakumullah for an inspiring program. Keep it up. Assalamu alaikum. And on that note, Jazakumullah to you for sharing all your messages. I don't have enough time to read all of them live on air, but I will reply personally to those that I haven't read out on air. It's been wonderful connecting to you. The program will be up on podcast later on today, radioislam.org.za, and I'll be tweeting the key points of the program later on today with the hashtag Quran Gems. That's all we have time for. I pray that your rest of your day is blessed, productive, and uplifting. May it be a day in which you continuously praise Allah, remember Him, and remain ever so grateful to Him. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Until we meet again on Thursday, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.